hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Watt, filling in for John Stadtmiller. And you'll excuse me standing in. I won't stand for the full 2 hours. I'll sit as well. But I got a call about an hour ago asking me to come in. Those who have heard me before hear me on Cutting Through the Matrix, where I go into the histories of this poor old planet of ours that really doesn't belong to us and probably never did, unless you get there before the advent of wealth and money. And this is November the 12th, 2007. Those who can still speak the tongues of Europe, and those who are listening from Europe, look into Alan Watt's Sentient Sentinel, and you can get transcripts downloaded for free with the different languages of Europe. And I have to thank all the staff that helped me out in all this. There's a lot of people involved. Although I could do with a few more of myself here. Maybe that's what the Superman had, the right idea. He could duplicate himself and have all these robots doing all his work for him. Kind of like the Federal Reserve. I often wonder if they're all just clones. But that's the world we live in. It's an ongoing show where reality has been propagated to the public, instilled in our minds, helped by our parents who didn't know any better either, and way down the line for thousands of years, because the world is run by a select few families, really, that interbreed like crazy and have held the incredible wealth. In fact, they decided what wealth was a long, long time ago. And it's very interesting that all of their symbols go back to Egypt. And all of those same symbols are all around us in company logos today, especially the big boys, the ones who own all the banks. And I'm certain they've also been behind the creation of all the major religions. They certainly have dominated them and run them right up to the present. And they're the elite of all religious groups. They're the top of all religious groups. And the big mystery is, who are these people? It's interesting to watch the Queen of England, for instance, go through her inauguration many, many years ago, sitting on the raised dais, which is just a pyramid, a step pyramid, holding the scepter and a little part that looks like a little crook, like the pharaoh did in ancient times. You'll see the same thing chiseled out in the stelas in Egypt. So ceremonies that were carried out thousands of years ago, right down to the ermine round the neck, the ermine, the black and white dots that Nimrod wore, are still worn today, and no one tells us why. Very interesting. But our world has been run by small groups, a small group really of people, down through the ages that moved around, even in ancient times. And we tend to forget that Egypt itself dominated the ancient world for almost 5,000 years. That's a long time. A long 5,000 years. And they used to create cities for bureaucrats to deal with all their State Department, you might call it, or Foreign Affairs Department in the Commonwealth countries, to deal with all the incoming and outgoing mail. And they found some of these cities and dug up tablets with all the data that modern bureaucracies deal with, and it's mainly to do with population, how many people are there, how many pay taxes, and all the buying and selling taxes as well, costed into it all. It was a huge business thousands of years ago, and nothing much has changed. Nothing much has changed, except that after moving down through the centuries and pulling their money out of one empire as they create the next, and flattening the one behind it, they're up to the global system now. The world, you see, is the little scepter she holds in her hand. And I'll be back after the following messages with more on this topic.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, standing in for John Stadtmiller. From Cutting Through the Matrix, the world around you as you have been taught to perceive it, and all that makes it tick and how it interacts together. And it truly is one huge web, a web of deceit, because the entire system and entire reality that has been put into us, it didn't happen by accident. We don't just roll down through the centuries stumbling along with politicians sorting out problems here and there on a daily basis, far, far from it. The politicians are really the fronts for very powerful families, and always were. And that's what democracy is, in fact. And in the U.S., too, even though it had a form of democracy within the republic, which meant it had sort of bars around it so that they couldn't knock those bars down and extend their powers, well, that went down long ago. And they have extended their powers. I think it was President Wilson who first used the term openly about America being a democratic nation. The same man who fronted for other people, very powerful people behind him, and which he admitted to in his own writings eventually, who gave the League of Nations the start, the embryo of a new world order, a world system, a standardized system, which had been the dream of the elite for a long, long time, I'm pretty certain for probably thousands of years. And they saw it coming into view, and the best way to get it going was to get world wars going and getting everyone involved in these world wars. Therefore, they spent about 100 years creating alliances, building up to the wars, and then getting the wars started. It wasn't too difficult because young men, who are pretty stupid, by the way, young men tend to be rather stupid. They run on hormones, and the tribal system is still strong within them, and they want to belong. They want to belong to the biggest gang that has some kind of authority over others, and that is approved by the government. And young men, having no power in their own daily lives, because most of them come from the working class or unemployed, that's generally how it is throughout the ages, they join the military. I'm not talking about drafting people in from all occupations. These guys join the military. So really they're mercenaries, and they get off on the national emblems that every country's been given with their flags and their various medals and all this kind of stuff. And they're taught to go out and kill and plunder, and feel very proud of it, although the people back home generally get the real story 50 years after the war, and had nothing to do with what you were told at the time. Everything you were told is always propaganda, because, as Karl Marx said, all wars are economic in nature, and sure enough, the big pirates at the top plunder every country they go into. That was how they lived down through the centuries. And some of these pirate families are allowed a certain amount of chess moves within this board game of theirs, this board game which is a bunch of rules that apply to them only. That's what knighthood is all about. Knights were sworn, they took allegiance to serve a master at any cost and obey any order they were given. And so the modern knights that came up through the pirate era, the skull and bones, going from the Knights Templars right upwards, and that was a symbol, by the way, of the Knights Templars flag. When they went to sea, it was the skull and bones. They became the pirates, and they looted a good part of the planet. So they were allowed to have competition between powerful families, even though these big families were often related, in fact. And they push each other out the way sometimes, and take over their other countries, but they always spare their cousins. And that's what kings and queens were about down through the ages. They had ongoing wars, which are tremendously profitable, and it also serves the purpose of depopulation, something going back to the days of ancient Greece. Now, most of the Grecian islands in the Aegean Sea were just that. They were islands. They could only have so much of a population. And so the leaders of those different islands had agreements that every so often they'd have wars. They'd supply the loans for those wars. They'd tax the people for the wars, and they would kill off so many of the people. They'd also have they'd own the munitions. At that time, it was all spears and breastplates and all this kind of stuff. And nothing much has changed. If we jump forward in time to the 1800s, when Mr. Malthus was the top economist for the British East India Company and the British Crown, really the European Crown, because it's all linked together. He came out with his writings on population. People should read this because he was an economist, and economists factor in future projected populations, debt, how much is owed by nations, how many they'll need to pay off that debt on estimates and all these projections, how many people would be surplus and would eat into that debt. And looking at the poor, who were always a problem for them, they found ways of getting rid of them. And Malthus said that they should put the poor in public housing. Housing, of course, would be poorly built and crammed together, and put them in marshy areas where they'd have diseases break out. And he called it positive population checks. That's what he called them. Those were the terms he used as a top economist for the British Crown and the East India Company. Everyone in the East India Company was a member of royalty or a cousin of royalty. And even Elihu Yale, that was one of the founding members that founded Yale University, was a cousin as well. So they set up their plans long in advance, even for the Americas, but they needed to bring populations down occasionally when it didn't fit into the economic system. At one time, they had to breed up the Americas, and when they first started putting settlers into the Americas, by various means, people don't like to leave their homes. They had to get things going to make folk leave their homes and go and open up this country. That time was not a nice place to just walk in and live. You had to cut down trees, forests, drain swamps, start farming, uproot trees by manpower and horsepower, hard work. And the death toll was pretty high. Most folk didn't live past 50 in these circumstances. And they had to create ways to get them in. So they created lots and lots of laws, penal laws, and put magistrates out there in England and other countries in Europe, because they're all in the same boat. All these countries are linked together with the same system running them and the same families at the top. And eventually, you couldn't walk out the door without breaking a law. And they would then arrest you, go in front of the magistrate, who convict you right away, and you're off on a ship and off to the Americas. They tried it too. The first slaves in the Americas they brought over were white men, mainly from Britain. And the French were doing it in their colonies too. But that's where you get the red neck from, really red shanks initially, because they wore the breeches down to their knee. And the white men got burned, a lot of sunburn at the back of there, because they're always bending down towards the sun and backs to the sun, and they get burns on their legs. But they didn't last too long. They weren't up to the high heat in the south and so on. And so they brought in, they even tried with American Indians and killed a lot of them. And then they brought in the black slaves. And it's quite the history lesson and the horror lesson, because history is horror, in actual fact. Up into the 1800s, kings authorized historians to write their memoirs, basically, to give his story. That's what his story is stories. And they always had wrote glowing reports of the king and how beneficent he was and how loved he was by all the people. And it's all farce. It's all fairy tales. These guys down through the ages were spoiled, psychopathic tyrants who were interrelated with all the other kings and queens across Europe, whom they intermarried freely. And they ruled with an iron fist. And right up into the 1900s, they were having public hangings, even in Britain, with people who tried to start unions up. The last two, I think, were hung at Stirling in Scotland. Just for a show to the public, not to do the same thing. That's how hard and vicious these people were at the top. And they also created rebellions. They created rebellions in Scotland primarily, with a handful of clans backing Bonnie Prince Charlie, as they call them, who came over from Italy. He spoke Italian and French. He'd been in exile, and that started off a mini-rebellion. And they used that as an excuse to clear the Highlands, the entire Highlands pretty well, of Scotland, and they put them off into primarily the Americas to settle the country. That's how you get to move people. You almost get an excuse, you make it happen, and then you follow up. Many of these boats, too, every London crook and merchant banker, the merchant bankers owned all the tardy little ships that were litten watering. Many of the families could watch their own relatives sink just off the coast, because dozens of the boats did sink, crowded too. And because they've put everything into service to try and get these millions of people outside the country and populate the Americas. Then they tried it with other countries. And also, for a stroke of luck, they had the Irish famine. And then that started off a whole bunch more coming in. Good working class people, pretty sturdy and rugged. And that's what they wanted. That's how you do things from a banker's point of view, from an economist's point of view. You need something done, so you create the circumstances to allow yourself to do it. And since you have no opposition, because all the bankers are in cahoots, look at the banking families that run the US and England and France and Germany and all the rest of them. It's the same banking families. And they have their headquarters, at least some of them still do, in the City of London, which is a sovereign state status, just like Rome does, and Washington, D.C. So we're looking at, again, a long-term agenda with an elite group of people who plan to bring us into a global society where they won't need us all. I'll be back with more about it after these messages.
ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Hi, folks. Alan Watt back with Cutting Through the Matrix, which is standing in for John Stadmiller. And just going through some of the little-known events of the past, something that most folk today have been taught not to even look into. It's not terribly exciting, they think. And what could they learn anyway? Well, you learn an awful lot. You find the big names that were sent into the United States to take over the money system. You take the money system over, you own the country. That's as old as the hills, as they say, and they're still doing it. With the Kuhnlob families and the Warburgs that came out of Germany. The Warburgs were amazing because one brother came out of Germany and he was only in the U.S. about two years and given citizenship before World War I broke out, and he was put in charge at the U.S. Federal Reserve and watched all the loans and all that kind of stuff. And then his brother was put in charge of the bank in Germany. And after the war, the two of them met at Versailles and signed a treaty and battled out how much the U.S. citizens and how much the Germans owed, because they owed them all to the same bankers who were also related to these Warburgs. Interesting name, too, Warburg. A berg is like a mountain, eh? The mountain of war. And they do love mountains in their names because it's all to do with pyramids and stuff. And history's got a lot to teach you when you really look into it. And how the stock market and why they called it Wall Street, what kind of wailing wall is Wall Street? why is there a wall in the first place? And why did they put it there? Down through history, the Phoenicians, the ancient Phoenicians, at one time ran the trade routes and all the shipping routes of the ancient world. And the Phoenicians were the Greek term for those who lived in Canaan at the time. And they had massive, they were merchant bankers in their own right, thousands of years ago. And they even got tin from far away places like Britain and brought back, it was mixed with the copper to make bronze. And all the weaponry at that time was made of bronze. So it was a big killing of even warfare products in those days. And the Phoenicians, when they sent their sailors out, they were all members of a brotherhood, a fraternity, that were sworn never to divulge where they went. And for 500 years, they brought tin from Britain, and no one could find out in the Mediterranean or the Middle East where they got it from. So that's quite the brotherhood of secrecy. And down through the ages, again, they took over many little places that go in and trade. And then they'd introduce silver, mainly, at that time, silver, eventually gold, get the public to accept it, and they would take it back from them in exchange for goods and back and forth until they got used to it. And then they would go to the head honcho, the king, and lend him money. And before you knew it, the whole country was in debt. And the king didn't mind because he could live high in the hog and get all the goodies brought in by the Phoenicians. And that's how this alliance, this symbiosis began with royalty. And the traders, who were also merchant bankers, they lent money as well. And eventually, these Phoenicians had coastal towns set up, which were factory towns, and everybody in the factory towns were actually slaves, making all the produce that then took to other countries and conned the next system and took it over. That's how it was done. When a country wouldn't comply, they'd go back to all the countries that had already taken over, tell the old king there that they weren't happy that this one country that was not going to accept the trading goods and was not going to accept their money system, and they'd go to war with that country. And they'd sit back, and they supply all the armies, of course, too, with all that they needed, and they'd reap massive profits. You know, nothing has changed down to the present day. Nothing at all has changed down to the present day. And in fact, if you look at the histories of ITT, and General Motors and Ford and General Electric and all these big companies that you think are your institutions, they're really big, big fronts, all intermerged with the big foundations, which are fronts for the banking system and the fraternities that run the world. These fraternities generally go back all the way to London again, like the Royal Institute for International Affairs and Council on Foreign Relations. Same branch in the U.S., only it's called a different name. Because you're still supposed to think you're an independent nation, you see, only for the taxpayer. And they run the entire world. And during the Cold War, this became more evident when the scientists said this war will be won by those with the best sciences, the most advanced sciences. And it was odd to me to watch every year newspapers, the top scientists in Britain and the U.S. being sent over to Russia to meet the top scientists there, because if you were truly in a Cold War that was supposed to be very, very real, the taxes were doubling then to pay for it all, and all the nuclear missiles were never going to use, then why would you let your top scientists meet with the top scientists of Russia when supposedly they're always going through this game of double agent, people getting bought off to the other side? You would not allow that to happen if you thought you had advanced science. You wouldn't let them meet each other. They're the last ones you'd allow to meet each other if the war was going to be won with high technology. But that's what happened, because the Cold War, which is a farce to get the people in the Russian side working as fast as it could for peanuts, and to get the U.S. side being taxed all the more to pay for high-tech exploration. That's what it was for. And I'll be back. I think this message is coming up. Yep, I'll be back after these following messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Hi, folks. On Watt, back with Cutting Through the Matrix, standing in for John Stadmiller. And just going through some of the history of this very, very old world, of the same con game going on over and over and over by the same descendants of the same families who interbreed like no one else does on the planet. They marry their cousins, sometimes in times gone by they've married their sisters, to keep it all in the family. And that also keeps the wealth in the family and all the secrets of how it's done in the family. But we have too much information on them today for them to keep it totally quiet. But they do to give us lots of distractions and fantastical things to amaze us. And that seems to be what most folk like rather than the bitter truth. Now we've got Bob from Texas on the line. Are you there, Bob?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This may be a critical phone call. Are you okay with that?
A critical phone call?
Yes.
Does that mean the line is going to go hot or burn?
No, it means that I'm going to make some statements that you may interpret as critical.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, you talk very fast. And that raises a red flag to me, because I think you know, there are many matrices fact, there's an infinite number of matrices. And you have obviously thought about things very hard, and you selected out one particular matrix, okay?
Yep.
Now, it's not the matrix that's important of all those infinite number. What's important is the glitch in the matrix, the pieces that don't fit. You follow?
Repeat that last part.
It's the pieces that don't fit that contain the information. All of the statements you've made really have no informational value because you've studied it so long. You've made it fit into one, just one of the infinite number of possible interpretations.
Which one do you think that you're going to kick it with?
Hello?
Which one do you think you're going to kick it with?
I didn't hear you.
You're talking about something else going to be the answer. What will it be?
Well, for instance, you were talking about how Wall Street got its name, right?
Yeah.
Well, I looked it up on the internet. You know how Wall Street got its name?
Go ahead.
It said Wall Street, its name is a direct reference to a wall that was erected by the Dutch settlers
from
the southern tip of Manhattan Island in the 17th century. During this time, a war between the English and Dutch threatened to spill over onto the island colonies. So the Dutch, located at the southernmost part of the island, decided to erect a defensive wall.
Yeah.
So there's another interpretation of where Wall Street came from.
Why is it still called Wall Street?
Well, you know, I have no idea, but...
You know about the wall between church and state?
Well...
You know, the wall between royalty and the public? You know, the wall between banks and the public as well?
Well, those are all things that you can project onto it, okay? The word wall will allow you to project many different... The word wall will allow you to... the word wall is ambiguous. And it will support...
Why are you wasting time about a wall here? What do you want to say?
You're the one who brought up wall, the wall between church and state. I was just responding to your...
No, I asked you what the answer was to it.
What I'm trying to tell you is, I don't believe your answer any more than anyone else's answer.
Good for you. Good for you.
Okay.
Good for you. Well,
you need to incorporate is the fact that you could be wrong. And then you may actually, in other words, it's the glitch in the matrix. You don't have any glitches anymore. You made everything fit. And that means you made, whenever you create a picture of something, there's always signal and there's always noise. And if you think hard enough about something, you will make the noise fit into your picture.
Okay, everything is quite normal then, is it?
Pardon me?
You think everything is quite normal?
No, of course I don't think everything is quite normal, and of course I have my own prejudices.
I'm just trying to
slow you down a little bit and get you to realize that you're a little too fluent. And that raises, at least to me, a red flag.
Okay. That's nice talking to you. Thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
Bye now. Yeah, I can remember going once to a church and arguing with a Sunday school teacher. And they accused me of having the sin of knowledge, because I could quote the Bible back to them, you see. And this is the sort of thing you get with people who are stuck in limbo. Because you can think for yourself and figure things out and have a memory to put things together, because you do remember your histories and major events. Those who can't will tend to attack you just as much because they haven't figured it out, and part of them doesn't want to. They'd rather believe it's just all a supernatural game, and it's not supernatural to that extent. What seems to be supernatural is the way that it's done, but when you think that the high sciences are all involved in this, and you do understand economics and how they work and how many avenues economics goes into, which is pretty well everything in your life and everything to do with whole populations, do with their lives, it starts to make sense then. And slavery is nothing new. And what I do is quote the big boys' books themselves, not the conspiracy books about them or the sci-fi books about them, but the books that the ones down through the centuries have published themselves. And at the beginning of the show, for instance, I talked about Thomas Malthus. And Malthus wanted to put the poor people in what they called poor houses, where they'd be crammed together, preferably on swampy areas. And it worked to death. I don't think you know that it's that the poor houses where they put the poor unfortunates, as they called them, mainly women and their families, where their husbands had died through overwork generally during the industrial era, they put them in these poor houses and they worked them to death. You lived maybe 3 to 6 months maximum in those houses, and they profited from them at the same time because they manufactured things as well. Very much like the prison camps in Germany in World War II, they'd use you to manufacture things before they killed you when you were completely exhausted and worn out. Very, very efficient. And IBM were the guys who did the Kardec system, pre-computer, as it was called, the Kardec system, that gave all the numbers out too. And you find these big companies, as I say, still run the world today, but they're integrated with the secret services, with the banking systems, and with the big institutions. They all work together. If they did not work together, they'd be at war with each other all the time because they'd all have different ideas of what they wanted to do with the world. These guys work together towards this new world order of theirs and their planned society. Now, Malthus, in his own book, came out with the same methods to eliminate the poor and the excess population that they knew would actually, in 100-odd years' time or so, when they started bringing down the industrial era, they knew they'd have too many of them. And he was talking about that time to come and how they should just kill them off with these positive population checks, like disease and plagues, he called them, too. We need plagues and disease and wars for positive checks on population growth. And that's how it really, really works. And nothing's changed because here's a story which most folk will think is coincidence, especially the last caller. He'll think this is coincidence because they like to believe in coincidence theories. And it's MSNBC News. And this is today's news as well. And it says here, now you know that they've been putting the people in trailers that were put out of New Orleans after the hurricane, and they're also putting families into these trailers. FEMA trailers are called. FEMA supplies them. And I'm sure some big high mason has the contract to make them. And they put them in these trailers, and it says, toxic gas pervasive in FEMA units test show. Nearly all trailers, mobile homes, exceed long-term formaldehyde standards. And this is by Mike Brunker, MSNBC, the 12th of November. More than 2 years after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita battered the Mississippi Gulf Coast, private tests of FEMA travel trailers and mobile homes provided to storm victims indicate that high levels of formaldehyde gas in the units is much more widespread than the government has acknowledged. The previously undisclosed test results from nearly 600 units reviewed by MSNBC.com found that 95% of the temporary housing units provided by FEMA measured at least twice the CDC's, the Center for Disease Control, because they control diseases, maximum recommended level for long-term exposure to the toxic gas, so it's twice as high. In some extreme cases, the levels were 70 times the long-term standard, 70 times. The tests were conducted by the Sierra Club, well, they're friendly, right, and a Galveston, Texas law firm that is involved in federal litigation against the manufacturers of the travel trailers and mobile homes that FEMA distributed. So, and it goes on here to say that the federal government promised to test inhabited trailers and mobile homes, but has not yet followed through. Many of the trailers and mobile homes have been occupied for 2 years, which makes the high formaldehyde levels a scientific mystery. It's a mystery. We can do all this stuff with nanotechnology and analyze it, but they just don't know why this is happening, since these levels typically decline significantly when units are ventilated by residents, and that's not true, because everyone in the building trade knows that this stuff gives off gas for 40 years, especially when the sun hits it. It says, I really can't account for it. It's really surprising, said Mary Devaney, a certified industrial hygienist whose Vancouver, Washington firm has conducted more than 100 of the tests. I really can't account for it. Results from mobile homes are especially puzzling, as the units had been presumed to be safer than travel trailers. Mobile homes, which are mounted on a permanent chassis and contain at least 320 square feet of living space, are intended for long-term occupancy. The level of formaldehyde in building materials used in their manufacture is regulated by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And what was it Malthus said? Yeah, put you in certain places and so on be bad for your health. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has halted distribution of travel trailers described as campers no more than 45 feet in length for temporary housing because of formaldehyde concerns, and said it is working to move all 52,520 households currently residing in travel trailers nationwide into permanent housing. It's also said it will provide temporary housing to anyone who expresses a desire to move out the trailers because of formaldehyde. But the agency continues to provide mobile homes to disaster victims, including 50% of people left homeless by last month's wildfires in Southern California, according to FEMA spokeswoman Mary Margaret Walker. The agency also has agreed to donate up to 2,000 unused mobile homes. He's another group that want rid of to Native American tribes. Boy, that makes sense. It's very Malthusian. Senator Tim Johnson announced in June. Walker did not respond to queries about the number of people on the Gulf Coast living in FEMA-provided mobile homes. No, he won't. But it is believed to be substantially lower than those in travel trailers. Believed, again, we scrubbed that last part. Formaldehyde, a chemical used in a wide variety of products, is considered a human carcinogen or cancer-causing substance by the International Agency for Research on Cancer and a probable human carcinogen by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. So these folk are all coming down with all of the symptoms of it, which include bloody noses, respiratory distress like asthma, sinus infections, bronchitis, skin rashes, and burning eyes. And the gas is emitted by composite wood and plywood panels in the FEMA unit. Now, composite wood is just where they get all the waste products from, like the chips of wood, and glue them all together with this formaldehyde. The big chemical companies are behind it. And anyone who's used that in a long term or in a factory, which I have done, you end up with all these symptoms, bloody noses, massive bronchitis and infections and so on. So they knew exactly what they were doing when they built them, only they made sure that these are up to 70 times higher in formaldehyde than regular ones. And who does it hit? Well, it's not the upper middle class. It's the working class people, generally, who are moved into these units. And that's how it's done. We're supposed to think it's all just coincidence, just coincidence. Even though all of these things, all these boards, etc., are tested in every part of the production for quality control or exceeding certain standards, but they're 70% more likely to give higher doses of formaldehyde. It's amazing they got through, isn't it? What a coincidence, with all these regulatory factions standing by watching. And that's how it works. Now we have another caller on the line. Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Yeah, I'd like your opinion about this latest little Cold War going on between the Russia and the United States. Do you think it's for real or is it bogus?
I'd say it's bogus because, I mean, you understand the history of Russia.
I'd like to ask another question and then hang up. I'm at work and I'm also on a cell phone. I don't want to fry my brain,
yeah,
so you
ahead.
Can answer. And the second question is, I had asked you once on Dr. Deagle's show about your opinion of the show Lord of the Rings, which I think is great, and I think you would be Frodo defeating the Eye of Sauron, you know, mm-hmm. And you were kind of like saying I didn't get the point of it. So anyway, your comments about the Lord of the Rings, a little deeper than the last time I'd asked you. So
yeah.
I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
Okay. Okay, and but to take the last one first, to do with the Lord of the Rings, so you understand who the author was and where he was based when he wrote that. And he lived in the university. He lived his whole life in the university. And he was fanatical on his writings to get the words and the words they would use in this particular language that they used perfect, as though it was a factual language, you see. and he had various high poets, friends, well-known and so on, who tried to talk to him often, but he was engrossed in his work. He took this very, very seriously to put out all these novels out. So it was more than just novels, because the ring that binds them all is the ring of its interrelationship or intermarriage, in a sense, as well. It's the different levels that run the world of royal levels, and then you have economic levels, the banking levels, then you have the literary levels that give you your thoughts and novels and write movies and so on scores, and then entertainment. All these things are part of the other rings. But it would bind them all in their ignorance. It would bind them all, especially the peasants down below. They'd be bound by this ring, interlocked forever. And I'll be back after the foreign message with more on this.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Hi, folks. Alan Watt back, playing for Jordan Statler. I generally do Cutting Through the Matrix. I'll be on later tonight, too, with another one. And we're talking about Lord of the Rings and how so much work, a lifetime of work, went into the creation of these stories, because it was very important always to tantalize the public with something they enjoy and they can eat their popcorn and blow their gum and say, "Bye, that was good," and have no idea really of the esoteric hidden beneath it. But of course, within it was a story to do with, including the balance, to do with balance of the world, what they call balancing. And you had the different categories of, in a sense, humanity, all coming down from the fairies at the top and the perfect ones, all down through the categories and right down to the ones with the big feet, the hobbits. And that was the peasantry. That's what that also was depicting. So it wasn't really that pleasant. But those, what it was also telling you was that those become illumined at the end, the last one, they become illumined, can never go back to their own people. They can't go back and fit in. They know too much. They've seen the light, as they say, because they're illumined. And they go off into the ship to the land of the blessed, where all the illumined ones go and live forever. And that's been a goal of elites in all ages. That's why the pharaohs entombed their bodies, hoping that somehow they could preserve them forever, maybe one day re-inhabit them or activate them. Didn't work too well because they soaked them in bitumen. In fact, they boiled them in them and rather destroyed everything. But it shows you that the thought was there. The thought was there, and they did a good job. As far as Russia and the U.S. is concerned, if we go into the Bolshevik Revolution and read who funded the Bolshevik Revolution, and you'll find that the banks of New York and London, the big bankers, has always funded it into power and funded it all through until it became the Soviet system. And 200 families moved in at the end of World War One into Russia to rule, and those families still rule today. They still rule Russia today. Very wealthy families. And some of them, like Trotsky, or Bronstein, whose name was from New York, he changed his name. He was from New York, and he became a leader of the revolution over there too. And the Russians thought he was actually Russian, but he wasn't. And those same families still run Russia today. So it's all a cozy group, all talking to the same bankers. And interestingly, in the British papers, when the so-called Berlin Wall came down, another wall came down, then Hadrian's Wall too, by the way, in England, you find that a guy called Solomon was the chief banker of the Soviet system. And of course, everyone said, well, how can that be? Because there was no private investment. That's not true. They allowed private banks to exist as long as they didn't claim to make profit off labor. That's how it was worded. And this guy left the Soviet Union with the wealth of the Soviet Union, that whole era, and went over to see who? His cousin Rothschild in England, and that was in the British newspapers at the time. So it's all a big scam, a big scam. But what they did accomplish during that Soviet era was to get two sides working fervently towards research and development for all the technologies that we're now seeing come in today, which are going to monitor and control all of us. That was the point of it all. We're back after the following messages.
With